We are chatting art, transport, communications, history. That's C-A-T-C-H. For some daft reason, I call it a catch cast. And we hope to get you as fascinated by our wonderful geeky subjects as myself and the guests. And in this edition, we're talking about an ingenious form of treatment. What's it all about? What can it help with? Today, we're absolutely honoured to be joined by Adrian Radford-Shute. Welcome to the Catchcast, Adrian.
Hello, good evening, and thank you for welcoming me as another geeky guest onto Catchcast.
You're probably the least geeky one we've had so far. Adrian, you're one of the world's leading practitioners of EMDR, which is said to be helpful for psychotherapy, for trauma and other mental health conditions. But what the heck is EMDR?
EMDR is a treatment for mental health conditions such as anxiety, stress, PTSD, complex PTSD, and trauma. So rather than it being a therapy, therapies are things like coping mechanisms. They'll help you cope with what you have. But the treatment of EMDR is pretty much now the world-renowned recommended treatment for those mental health conditions.
And please explain to us what EMDR stands for.
So EMDR stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. Rather long title, I know. But basically, if you move your eyes left and right, the thing you're thinking about, the trauma, will be desensitized and you'll have another go at processing it, so you're reprocessing it. So that's where we get eye movement, desensitization and reprocessing.
And how and when was it first developed, Adrian?
So EMDR clinically was first developed by Francine Shapiro, a doctor over in America. She was walking through Central Park and she noticed that the thoughts, the disturbing memories that she had in her mind were changing from being a negative into a positive. And that was because the light that was coming through the dappled branches of the trees was changing the memory. So she thought and realized it had a connection with eye movement. But when we talk about when was it first developed, if you think about now what that is, if it's eye movement and you're moving your eyes left and right, we now know this is called bilateral stimulation. People have been doing this for centuries. You think about hypnotherapists, if you remember those, Mark, with the old pocket watch going left and right, left and right. They weren't doing hypnotherapy. They were doing eye movement. They were doing EMDR. They just didn't realize it with the metronome that was going back and forwards and back and forwards. They just didn't realize what they were doing. So actually, it was developed a long time ago and has been used probably for billions of years, because when we walk along, being cavemen from one continent to another, our eyes move left and right. We don't walk down the road or down the pathway looking straight ahead. As our eyes move left and right, that's the eye movement that desensitizes us to the traumas we're thinking about. So actually, this is an human function that has been going on for as long as we've been humankind, but actually clinically it's probably been around for the last 25 years.
Goodness, so it's almost part of our natural evolutionary state.
It is. In the same way that if we breathe in nice and deeply and then breathe out slowly, that slows our heart rate, so it calms our heart down, it calms any anxiety down. Whereas if you perform eye movement when thinking about a memory of something that's bothering us, that will actually turn the memory off. It desensitizes you. So we have two natural ways of dealing with anxiety. There's nothing psycho babble or mumbo jumbo about this. It's all clinically proven.
And when did people start to realize, after presumably Francine Shapiro worked out something was going on here, when did people realize that this could actually be used to treat people and help them?
So Francine carried out a number of different case studies, probably around 2,500, I believe, around the world. And people were placed into MRI scanners and EMDR was carried out. And in pretty much every case, certainly over 94%, the traumas that they were thinking about were desensitized and resolved permanently, completely. So after those tests were carried out, it probably took about another 10 years for it really to kind of reach some kind of size and scale, where other practitioners certainly started to get involved. And that's when I became involved, probably about 11 years ago now, when I first had EMDR myself. It was hardly ever known about. And since then, the proliferation, the growth in the number of EMDR therapists has increased. And it's now recommended by every psychiatric association, including the World Health Organization, all the way around the world, because we've now got therapists all the way around the world. Not a lot, we need a lot more. So that's where we can see the growth, really.
And what are some of the conditions that can benefit from EMDR? You mentioned at the top that it's good for things like trauma, but give us an idea about the kind of people who can be helped with it.
So let's try and break it down. You have anxiety and you have depression. They're two clinical words. Depression is sadness and anxiety is fear. So EMDR does not treat depression. EMDR treats anxiety, it treats fear, it treats memories of things that we've been through or things that we think we might be going through, like things we're worried about in the future. And if those things cause us to experience fear, then a little chemical called cortisol is released in the brain, and that fires adrenaline into our heart, to our legs and our arms, so we can run away from the fear or fight the fear, the flight or fight mode. So if you use eye movement, when you're thinking about what the memory of fear is, the fight and flight mode will not initiate because the cortisol will not be released. In other words, it turns off the fear reaction. So any condition that is induced by fear, which is anxiety, can be treated with EMDR. Now that's stress, normal stress, home stress, workplace stress. Stress turns into anxiety. Anxiety, if it keeps building, turns into acute anxiety where you have it all the time. And then acute anxiety turns into chronic anxiety where you then get chronic things manifesting in the body like chronic pain, chronic fatigue, chronic IBS, chronic migraine, at the top end of the scale, even chronic fibromyalgia. Now, some people who go through lots of memories of fear start to suffer from PTS, post-traumatic stress. Or if all that happens in a very brief period, like 24 to 48 hours, it's post-traumatic stress disorder. And if you have lots of it and it's a bit complicated, it's complex post-traumatic stress disorder. So what it treats is any condition that comes from fear, which is stress, anxiety, acute anxiety, chronic anxiety, PTS, PTSD, or complex PTSD.
That is a big list of problems that people have in modern life.
All of those problems are caused by anxiety. That's it. So taking it all the way back to the baseline of where it is, if you're suffering from anxiety, it doesn't matter if it's a little bit during the day or all the time, or you've got some chronic symptoms, whatever is triggering that, if it's PTS or PTSD or complex PTSD, doesn't really matter what the diagnosis is. The cause of that is anxiety. So that's what we treat. It's the old story, isn't it? The vet doesn't ask the cow how it feels. It just treats the symptoms. And this is the same. If you treat the symptom, which is anxiety, and that goes away because you desensitize it with the eye movement and you reprocess it again, EMDR, if you get rid of those symptoms, then the manifestation, if that's chronic pain or if it's stress or if it's anxiety, or if it's something which is seriously bothering you, like fibromyalgia, then those things will go away on their own. And it even works for addictions.
Adrian, can you give us a bit of an idea of how someone might start this kind of treatment?
So how do you start EMDR? Well, you can go to your GP and they can recommend it, but it's not readily available on the NHS at all. It's only really available privately at the moment. It should be available ubiquitously throughout every single nation around the world. And we're working hard to do that. So you can go through your GP and hope that you might get that. But if you can't, you can obtain it privately. And if you see a private EMDR therapist, you're looking out for finding an advanced therapist. A standard EMDR therapist will take about 12 to 18 sessions. An advanced EMDR therapist will take about 2 to 3. We can do it that quickly. And you can do it online. So I was the first therapist to pioneer web-based EMDR globally 4 years before the pandemic. So it's certainly been around for at least the last 10 years. And if you can access that online, you can do it via your phone, tablet, or PC, or Mac. But you can also see therapists face-to-face, in a face-to-face session. There is no degradation in the quality of the service if you do it online or if you do it face-to-face. And there are numerous research studies now from all over the world that evidence face-to-face is exactly the same as online. So really, it's easy and really, really simple to get hold of. You just got to find a good therapist.
We talked about EMDR tackling addictions. How does that work, Adrian?
So if we are experiencing anxiety, our mind is naturally going to try and distract us from what's going on. Because if it doesn't distract us, we'll start having panic attacks. That's like a little fuse that pops, stops us from going out. So we stop building more trauma, more memories of fear. And if that doesn't work, we start to get dark thoughts. We call them ideations of suicide. A bit of a heavy topic, but it's really important because these dark thoughts just come from nowhere. It doesn't mean that we actually feel suicidal, but we have strange thoughts like, oh, what if I just crashed my car or if I did other bits and pieces? And they're really, really common. So thank you for letting me talk about them, because if you're experiencing those, that comes from anxiety. But when those things start to happen, the mind will naturally try and ease that pain and suffering. So it causes a distraction. Now, a distraction is what we call an over blank. So we can have some fun here and fill these ones in. Overeat, overdrink, overdrug, overgamble, overclean, overshop, overgym, over tattoo, overwork, over buy shoes and handbags, or over buy Amazon boxes, over undereat for some people, over wash our hands, over count numbers backwards with obsessive compulsive distractions. You see how that works, Mark?
Mm.
The mind will try and distract us to take our mind off of what's going on. So if we have a distraction and we're doing that long enough, if we're overeating or drinking or gambling or taking drugs or whatever that may be, then the distraction turns into an addiction. Distraction is an anagram of addiction. It lasts longer. You form a habit of doing it. So some of those things are not addictive. Gambling is not addictive. Buying shoes and handbags or Amazon boxes are not addictive. There are some addictive substances like alcohol and like drugs that are slightly separate. However, if you're going through a distraction that turns into an addiction because of fear, because of anxiety, then that's a coping mechanism that your mind is positively trying to implement to take your mind off of what's going on. There are other distractions we can use, other things that we might become addicted to, like therapy. People keep going back and seeing their therapist. I'm seeing Adrian, my therapist. He's amazing. I've been seeing him for 20 years. 20 years? He must be rubbish. And yet people keep going back to therapy because it's the feeling that you get. It's that calmness of your mind because your mind is being distracted from what on earth is going on inside my mind right now with all of these memories of fear and worry and anxiety and trauma. That's what the distraction does, and that's what the addiction does. So if we use EMDR, and we can, to successfully desensitize the memories of the fear, the triggers of what the addictions are, we see the addictions dissipate on their own. We see people no longer needing to overdrink or overeat or overdrug or overgamble, and the list goes on. And therefore, the minor ones of those, the ones that don't have an addictive element to them, will dissipate on their own. It's highly effective. But the ones that do have an addictive element, like drink, like drugs, therefore we can use therapy after that, bearing in mind EMDR is a treatment, it's not therapy, but you can then go into a therapy program, a light therapy program, to kick the habit, to get rid of the drinking or the drugs or whatever that may be as well. So that's how EMDR can help desensitize the memories that cause the addictions, the majority of which will dissipate on their own. But if you do need a bit of help with some of the higher end ones, then that's when therapy can come back in after. And we see the highest success rate of people engaging in those therapeutic pathways, those interventions, when they've had EMDR first. So EMDR doesn't fix everything. Gets rid of anxiety. It's a treatment for anxiety. But if your addictions are caused by anxiety, it's going to help you get rid of those too.
You're not talking about rubbing out a memory of something. You're talking about how we shift our focus away from the trauma or the addiction by doing the treatment.
That's absolutely correct. So we can't erase memories of trauma. I think the only way you can do that is by lobotomizing people. And I think that was outlawed in the 1800s for very good reason. So we can't erase memories of trauma. And actually, there's a thought that says we don't want to, because if you've been through something traumatic, you're going to learn from that. That's an experience. It will be a negative experience in your mind, which creates the anxiety. So the EM, the eye movement process, when you move your eyes left and right, it stimulates the left and right cortexes, the front bits of your brain. And that's what processes the trauma. This actually happens naturally when we're asleep. It's called rapid eye movement, or REM sleep cycle. When we're asleep, our eyes flutter left and right, stimulating the left and right cortexes of the brain. It processes the thing you're worrying about. You wake up and it's no longer there. However, you and I may know, sometimes it is still there. And that's when we can manually override that system. Whilst you're awake, you think of the memory that's bothering you, you move your eyes left and right. That recreates the bilateral on both sides, the bilateral stimulation that stimulates the left and right cortexes in the brain. It turns the memory off, and then that will dissipate for us and it will go away.
You mentioned REM sleep there, which most of us know is quite beneficial. So there's actually kind of a link between EMDR and REM then?
Exactly. EMDR is the manual version of REM sleep. It is as simple as that. We don't have to complicate this. If you move your eyes left and right, you are stimulating the left and right sides of your brain in exactly the same way that REM sleep does. We're just manually overriding that system whilst you're awake. Because when you're asleep, you can't really target the memories of the things that are bothering you because you're asleep. If you do it whilst you're awake, it's a far faster process.
And Adrian, are the solutions permanent or can the problem reoccur?
So the problem can reoccur if it's re-triggered in a small number of people, but it's very easy to then go back in and have what I call a top-up session, where you just desensitize the final little bit that might be there. The majority of people, and this is what the World Health Organization says, that EMDR is recommended for the permanent amelioration of symptoms of PTSD and anxiety-related disorders. So it's a permanent treatment, and that's generally what we see. There's over 96% of people that it will not come back for. But even if it does, it doesn't come back with the same ferocity. It might come back just a little bit, and if you need to turn it off, you just pop back for a little top-up session.
And how long does a session take, and how often is one needed?
So a session takes 60 minutes up to 90 minutes, which is pretty much standard therapeutic practice. The guidelines suggest that this can take 12 to 18 sessions. However, with advanced EMDR, it can only take 2 to 3 sessions, so literally 2 to 3 hours. The difference is, if you use the old protocol of EMDR, you're going to be required to talk about everything, to disclose everything. It may be you don't want to do that. It may be you don't feel comfortable or confident, or you just can't describe what that was. The advanced system of EMDR, and why it's much faster, taking only those 2 to 3 sessions, requires you to not talk about anything. You hold the memory in your mind, you move your eyes left and right under the direction of the therapist, and it will disappear in about 30 to 60 seconds per memory. It's that fast, Mark.
Now, Adrian, who is actually using EMDR nowadays?
Well, there's a number of different groups that are using EMDR. I mean, first of all, we've got the general population, people who've been through trauma. And we can break that down into children, really as young as 5 and 6. Children are going to school, teenagers, and then we've got our sort of adolescents and our mini adults that are popping off to university. That's one group. We've got adults who have been through trauma, stress at work and anxiety, anything at all to do with generalized life. But there are different groups that are using this as well. We've got the military. We have police, the fire service, the ambulance services as well. And then we have the sporting world. So when we look at the blue light family, police, fire, ambulance, and we can put the military in that, pretty much all these people start to experience trauma on a daily basis. Mm. So you can have people who have gone through a career of 30 years with all of this trauma. And it's people like that that really do suffer with PTSD and complex PTSD. And EMDR is recommended and really, really does help those people. We're now using it as like an emergency intervention. So if you've been through a traumatic incident, why wait to see a therapist months down the line when your symptoms get bad and you start to overblank or you get some addictions or distractions? If you go and see an EMDR therapist straight away, or carry out some self-help EMDR, which you can also do this yourself, it's quite fascinating, then you can turn off, you can desensitize the fear, the problems, the worry of what you've just been through straight away. So that's how it works for the blue light family. That's how we're creating resilience in people's minds within that sector. But in the sporting sector, you'd pretty much think that these people at high level, these are formula racing drivers or equestrians or boxers, and I work with all of those, these people don't really have any fear from past trauma, but what they have is the ability to bring fear of braking late, not jumping high enough, or not being fast enough on their feet. Whatever those fears might be, that will manifest into detracting from their Olympic grade, world class winning performance. So if we can use EMDR, and we can, to desensitize the fears of what they're worried about in their sports, when we turn those off, we see them excelling. And that's where the people that I work with in that sporting world really, really then start to perform at their best ability. So EMDR can be used for really bad anxiety and trauma, but it can also help people improve their performance. And if it works for sport, which it does, it can also work in business, which it does. I've worked with CEOs of top 10 banks all around the world and many other wonderful people improve their business performance and their focus as well at the same time.
So it's got multiple uses then. It's not just about dealing with traumas and addiction.
Not at all, Mark. And I think this is where it comes back to keeping it very, very simple. It's fear. If you are suffering from fear and it's changing your performance, if it's changing your behaviour by undertaking EMDR, thinking about the trauma, moving your eyes left and right, it will go away. It's as simple as that. If these traumas are quite bad and you need some help, some safeguarding and some support, that's when you want to work with a therapist. But there are mechanisms in place where you can learn how to do this with self-help. And hopefully, if you invite me back to Catchcast in the future, I'd be delighted to talk about what those advancements might be.
Well, you've just stepped on my next question, really, because you said that it's not yet available on the NHS. And if people can't afford to pay for a therapist, they can, you have said, do it themselves, effectively.
That's very true. So whilst it's not generally available on the NHS, it is available in some areas. So I think it's important that people still do recognise they can go to a GP and ask them. So they can use self-help. So there are a number of different ways that you can do that. Simply just by crossing your arms and tapping left and right on your shoulders. It's called a butterfly hug in therapy. That will stimulate the left and right cortexes of your brain in the same way that eye movement does. So this is where I'm really going to demystify it now. It's actually not called eye movement, desensitization and reprocessing. It's actually called bilateral stimulation, desensitization and reprocessing. It's far too long. So they called it EMDR. It's a bit catchy, but actually it's got nothing to do with the eye movement. It's just stimulating the left and right cortexes of the brain when you think of a memory that's bothering you. Stimulation is sense. So if you're using your eyes to go left and right, you are using the sense of sight. I could click in the left and the right ear or use buzzers. That is using the sense of sound. But we can also use the sense of touch. If you tap your left and right sides at the same time as thinking about a memory, it will go away. So this is what my racing drivers do. They tap their steering wheel with their left and right fingers. The fear that they have goes away. My equestrians hold their reins and they tap their reins with their thumbs left and right and the fear goes away. My military tap their feet left and right with their boots. My police officers put their hands inside their jackets and they tap with their fingers left and right. You won't even see them doing it. And it would desensitize them to the fear of what's going on at that time. So if your listeners are at home and you have a memory of something that's bothering you, just close your eyes, think about the memory, and as the feeling of anxiety comes up, tap left, right, either side, and you'll notice how the fear and what you're thinking about will start to lose its power. It will desensitize, changing from the negative to the positive that you've spoken about, and the anxiety will go away.
And you don't even have to say anything or have someone say something to you while you're thinking about that memory. You just bring it to mind and do the left or right tapping or the eye movement.
That's exactly correct. It's obviously going to be helpful if you've worked with a therapist first or if you've used some online resources to guide you as to what that might be. But basically, if you just think of the memory, tap left and right, then that feeling will go away for you. If you've got complex trauma, undoubtedly, you're going to be needing to work with a qualified, reputable, advanced EMDR therapist to help you. Because that's when you might need some safeguarding. You might need to make sure that you're doing this in a safe way. Not that there are any side effects of EMDR at all really to worry about. You just need to make sure you're looking after your mental health and your well-being by working in a supportive environment with a therapist. So if you've got memories of things which are low grade, which are worrying you, you can certainly tap. If you've worked with a therapist who has guided you in how to do this, you can certainly tap using self-help. But primarily, I would always seek out the help and expertise of an advanced EMDR therapist if you've got high levels of PTSD, complex PTSD, or anxiety.
So where do people go to find more people like you, or how would they do more research about EMDR?
So there are two types of therapists that you can find. You can find psychotherapists, and they'll be listed in the psychotherapy directories, or you can find clinical hypnotherapists listed in those directories. The difference in the type of therapist is with a psychotherapist, you're going to talk about everything. It will take you 12 to 18 sessions. With a clinical hypnotherapist, you don't need to. It will only take you 2 to 3 sessions on average, and you won't need to talk about things. It's far faster. So there's your choice of your route where you need to go to. But if you tap EMDR, find a therapist near me, into a well-known search engine, then the likelihood is you're going to have one that's going to pop up.
Well, how fascinating has this been? Thank you so much to Adrian Radford for enlightening us, quite literally, about the benefits of EMDR. Thanks, Adrian.
No, thank you, Mark, for inviting me on to Catchcast. It's been wonderful to be here.
Now, if you've been interested in this subject, you can read more on the NHS website or the Wikipedia entry for EMDR, or indeed Adrian's website, which is onemind.org. That's the number one. Thanks to Adrian for joining us today, and do join us again next week for another Catchcast.